Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our review series examines books, movies, music, and other media in the light of God's truth. We pray that it will be eye-opening, instructional, and beneficial for your daily walk with Christ. Our review for today is the book The Great Divorce by C.S. Lewis. At first glance, the name of the book doesn't really fit with what we might think it to be. The word divorce here is used in a much broader perspective than the way we typically use it when referring to the ending of a marriage. The great divorce that C.S. Lewis is writing about is a divergence between heaven and hell. He uses that word divorce to indicate the two extremes or opposites of heaven and hell. The book is written as an allegory, a fictional allegory. Certainly there are truths within the book, but it is not at all a non-fiction, truth-based account of heaven and hell in that regard. It's an allegory or a picture of a first-hand experience between heaven and hell. The way that the book is outlined is it brings up the hypothetical situation of a busload of people who get to go from hell to heaven. And as they're in heaven, there are certain people there from heaven that try to convince them to stay. Now, obviously, this is not a biblical premise. The Bible doesn't talk about people being able to travel from heaven to hell. The Bible does not talk about people being able to go from being a resident of hell to being a resident of heaven. Again, it's a fictional allegory written by C.S. Lewis to try to indicate what the two extremes between heaven and hell are like, and most importantly, I think, the kind of characteristics that lead a person toward hell rather than heaven. I think that's where people learn the most from the book. But again, in this hypothetical, the book starts out with this bus ride that leaves the streets of hell and floats up into the air and arrives at heaven. Perhaps first and foremost of note is the way that Lewis describes hell and heaven. The book opens with the first-hand character being in hell, and hell is depicted as a city that extends beyond what anybody can see. It just keeps on going and going and going. The expansion of the city goes forever. And the way that he describes hell is it's continually dreary, continually gray, and people are kind of walking around in a funk, not really knowing what to do. But in addition to that, people also want to get as far away from one another as they can. People can't stand one another in hell. They don't want to live with each other. There aren't relationships established. And a person who lives in hell is able to build as much as they want. And so some people build and build and build, and they can create whatever buildings and settlements that they want to build, but they continually keep on expanding out and out and out to try to keep themselves from other people. Again, this is not a biblical description of hell. This is an allegorical description to talk about the distance of the lack of relationships in hell, especially a lack of relationship with God. Heaven, in contrast, is depicted as sort of a nature scene where they come up over this great chasm, and all of a sudden they see this beautiful scene of fields and forests and waterfalls and mountains, and the bus parks and they get out and they can traverse around what is supposedly the outskirts of heaven. Again, those are the way that the two are depicted. When the individuals from hell, they're called the ghosts, reach heaven, they get out and they interact with people who are in heaven called the spirits, or Lewis calls them the solid people. And what the book, the main content of the book is the conversations that these ghosts have with the people in heaven, and you see the people in heaven trying to convince them to stay and trying to convince them to let go of the sinful attitudes and ideas that led them to hell in the first place. And you come across Lewis describing several different types of beliefs. He talks about a person who's an academic who believes that just learning knowledge is one's highest pursuit, not actually arriving anywhere. The academic says to travel hopefully is better than to arrive. And so in their mind, heaven isn't really a destination, isn't really worth getting to. They just came to kind of see what it's like. It's part of their continual journey. I think you see that in people's lives today, where they're so caught up in the moment that they don't actually think about, where am I going for eternity? What's going to happen after this life? Other people that Lewis tends to describe as a person who tries to steal things from heaven. There's a thief. There's a cynic who thinks that everything is propaganda, that the people running hell are the same people who are running heaven, and it's just a big scam. As the book goes on, you get some more personal relationships established. You have a spouse finds their spouse in heaven, and they converse in that way, talk about some of the struggles that they had in life. You have a brother and a sister who meet one another and talk about their past experiences. One of the people that really struck me in the book is an artist who gets to heaven and just cannot wait to paint the depiction of this beauty that he sees. And a person from heaven comes up to him and says, "Don't worry about painting it so much. You can stay. You can live here." And yet the artist is so intent on, oh, I must paint it, I must get it down on paper, I must show this beauty, that he doesn't recognize what's right in front of him. And I think that's a wonderful description for what so many people suffer from in this day and age, is that they're so caught up in the here and now, they're so caught up in their goals and their ideas and what they want to accomplish, and they're missing the bigger picture that's there, that God can be with them today, that he promises them heaven, something greater than this life. And life is more important than our goals and our dreams and aspirations. Another really memorable encounter is this individual who is walking around with this red lizard on his shoulder, this ghost with a red lizard on his shoulder. And he comes up to this person in heaven, and this heavenly figure, and that person from heaven says, "Do you want to get rid of that lizard on your shoulder?" The lizard was whispering in his ears, trying to get him to do things he shouldn't be doing. And the person kind of hems and haws about it. "Well, I would, but it's not realistic." Or, "Oh, I'll think about it later. I'll do it at a different time." And the heavenly figure keeps on, you know, prodding him and saying, "May I kill it? May I destroy it? May I kill it? May I get rid of it?" And the process keeps on going. Eventually he gets the ghost up to the point where he says, "Okay, go ahead and kill the lizard that is whispering these things into my ear." And so the angelic being grabs it, and it shrivels away, and the ghost screams out in agony, because it's painful, because it's kind of part of who he is. And after that's all done, the lizard reforms as a mighty horse, as a stallion, and the ghost gets on and rides the stallion off into heaven. Again, it's an allegory, but what Lewis was depicting through this was the dominance of lust on the human nature. That red lizard whispering things into the person's ear was like the sinful temptation of lust, something that we by nature like to hang on to. We know that it's not really a good thing. We make excuses to God saying, "Well, I'll get rid of it later," or "I'll deal with it in a different way. Don't kill it right now. Don't get rid of it, because it's too cherished. It's almost killing part of who I am." But what Lewis depicted is, when God destroys that lust, he can turn the sexual relationship of marriage into a mighty stallion that becomes a huge blessing, as he has intended for our lives. So those are just some ideas of how Lewis depicts in allegorical form the great difference between heaven and hell. Certainly, as with most of C.S. Lewis's writings, you want to be careful about an emphasis on the human will and decision theology and making a choice for Christ. He's got a tendency to write in that way. But I certainly encourage you to read The Great Divorce. It's very interesting to read, and I think it really gives you some insights into the aspects of human nature that we live with right now that could lead against God and not back to his word, to trust in him. A good summary of the book comes near the end, where our main character comes across a teacher who is instructing him, and the teacher says, it really comes down to this: those who say to God, "Thy will be done," or those to whom God says, "Thy will be done." To him, that's really the difference between heaven and hell. Do we want to serve God, or Do we want God to serve us? Thanks for listening.
We invite you to join us every week for another episode of Burden and Blessing Podcast, where we will continue to proclaim Jesus Christ as the one and only Savior for sinners. Until next week, take comfort in the fact that God is your rock and ever-present help in trouble.